Well, I've just seen a police officer hit on the head by something thrown from the crowd. The front line of police here at the barriers in front of the gates, they're pulling out. Lots of glass being thrown now and lots of people running. And we're looking back, there's the crowd. Some protesters have actually stormed the gates. They've got over the barriers. They're getting through the gates. And it looks now as if smoke is coming out of the back of the City Hall.
Protesters threw metal barriers at the line of police Land Rovers, clambering up on the bonnet, on the roof, pounding bricks against the windows. Two female police officers were taken to hospital, a security guard was hit and a photographer injured. The council meeting had to be adjourned for half an hour, but Sinn Féin's Jim McVeigh said protesters wouldn't stop proceedings.
We'll not be deterred by a bunch of thugs. This is about equality, and we're not going to be intimidated by a small number of people who want to go back to the past.
As the violence spread to East Belfast, this protester predicted that loyalists would be making the headlines once again for all the wrong reasons.
We really don't see any good for our cause to throw stone. I think it's stupid. The people who have been standing here peacefully all night, waving the Union flag, it's not going to get a look in. It's going to be that nonsense. It's going to be on headlines.
Home of a couple, both Alliance councillors in Bangor, was also attacked. A paint bomb thrown at Michael and Christine Bauer's home, smashing a front window close to where their baby daughter usually plays. And Michael Bauer is on the line. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Noel.
Can you just talk us through what happened?
Well, essentially, Noel, we had just been... our daughter isn't the best sleeper. And we had just done, as many newborn parents do, take her out for a drive just to get her to sleep. And we literally just got her back into the house. I think it was sometime around 11 or so. My wife took her into the bedroom, which is also at the front on the ground floor, and was lying in bed with her, just helping her get over. I was sitting in the living room, and there were two fairly loud bangs against the window. Immediately, given the events in Carrickfergus earlier in the evening, assumed that it was some form of attack, and ran into Christine and Grace just to make sure they were okay, called the police, and essentially waited for the police to come before we ventured outside.
Several hundred protesters carrying Union flags gathered outside the office where town councillors were holding a planning meeting. Some officials weren't able to attend because of the protest. Police corralled the crowd at the junction of Linenhall Street and Bridge Street. Several bottles were thrown at the police line, but there were no injuries. And at one stage, a civilian man used a police loudhailer to ask the crowd to obey police instructions. The crowd eventually moved towards a shopping centre and police issued a warning.
Police have just shouted, "Please disperse or force will be used."
Protesters fled as police charged. The crowd roared as one officer stumbled and fell. Several protesters were struck with batons, and there were more warnings as the crowd regrouped.
The crowd should disperse immediately. They must arrest for breach of peace or other offences, and force may be used. This is the final warning.
The protest lasted for more than 2 hours, and as police advanced again, the crowd retreated into Railway Road.
The lunch here is for two youths standing on top of the gates at the front of Belfast City Hall. They're burning the Irish tricolour. Yeah!
You know, the bottom line is this.
Whether you take a flag down or you don't, there's a million unionist Protestants living in this country. Get used to it!
Jim Dyson is a figure who hadn't, until Saturday anyway, featured prominently among leading loyalists. Good Morning Ulster has learned that he worked for a number of years for the British National Party, or BNP. Our reporter Robbie Meredith is with me. Morning, Robbie. Many people wouldn't have heard of Jim Dyson. Who exactly is he?
Morning, Connor. Well, as you can perhaps tell from his accent, Jim Dyson's originally from Scotland, but he lives in County Down. He first came to prominence here as an anti-abortion campaigner. He's a leading figure in the UK Life League, which is an anti-abortion organisation formed in 1999 with a contact address in Newtownards. And he's been prominent in recent protests against the Murray Stopes Clinic here. He was actually interviewed outside the clinic on the day it opened.
You know, devout Catholics and very orthodox Protestants to come together and stand here in Belfast with one united voice, I think, is unique. And I can't think of any other setting you would actually find that happening. So Murray Stopes has done one thing, is united communities for too many years have been apart.
At the same time, we've been hearing he worked extensively for the British National Party.
Yes, and Jim Dyson actually first met the BNP leader Nick Griffin through his anti-abortion campaigning. But he was soon playing a central role in the party. From 2007 on, Jim Dyson ran a number of companies in Northern Ireland which provided fundraising and marketing services to the BNP. Now, I spoke to Nick Griffin yesterday and he told me that, for instance, it was one of Jim Dyson's companies which ran a call centre for the BNP in Ballyhackamore in East Belfast. And it seems he was central to the BNP for a number of years. Nick Griffin's daughter Jennifer was a director of one of his companies, and in fact, in a speech after the BNP made a breakthrough by winning two seats in the European elections in 2009, Nick Griffin gave a lot of credit to Jim Dyson, even referring to him as a genius.
Rosie Billingham is at Broadway in Belfast. What's going on there, Rosie?
Well, Seamus, the situation is very fluid here. The protest started at around 4 o'clock. Initially, police say some protesters tried to block the bottom of the Donegal Road, which did lead to traffic backups. Now, the police told the protesters to get off the road. They could have their protest at the side of the road, a white line protest. After 15 minutes, 25 police officers in riot gear, police dogs did have to push some protesters off the road. Then for around an hour, the traffic cleared, the protest was peaceful. I was talking to protesters saying they wanted to get their message across, that they wanted the union to see the Union Jack back outside the Belfast City Hall. However, as some of the police Land Rovers began to move, this situation was looking quiet in comparison to, say, the bridge at the Ormo Road. At that point, a group of protesters ran into the village area and began throwing, well, there are bricks, there are broken bottles, they were throwing fireworks. So the situation has changed in the last 10 minutes. Police have moved in on Broadway on the village side. I can see Land Rovers at the Boucher roundabout just ahead of me at the end of Glen Macken Street.
The woman police officer who was attacked in her car outside was, in fact, guarding Naomi Long, who's been under a death threat. And Naomi Long joins us now. This is a very upsetting time for you personally, I would have thought, Naomi.
Well, it's a very upsetting time, I think, for everyone in Northern Ireland who actually cares about the future of our country. I think anyone who sees the news this morning and sees the damage which is being done to our reputation, but also sees the risk that people's lives are being placed in over this issue, I think couldn't be anything other than extremely upset. The officer who almost lost their life last night was simply doing their job. It wasn't just that they were protecting me or protecting my office. What they were doing was trying to protect the people of Northern Ireland from a tide of violence which threatens to sweep us all into the abyss. I have huge respect for police officers who are standing firm in the face of this violence, and I believe that the community owe them their fulsome support. And I would ask anyone in the community who has information about the attack and those involved to pass it on to the police and cooperate. This isn't loyalism, this is fascism, and it needs to be brought to an end.
Evening Extra has been talking to a trader today who says customers have cancelled numerous Christmas party bookings because they're wary of travelling into the city centre in the current tension. He didn't want his name used or the name of his business, he told Karen Atkinson, for fear that he could be targeted for speaking out.
We've seen quite a downturn in trade. Saturday past, we lost quite a few bookings. And on a Saturday before Christmas, it's never been that way. We would also sell quite a few vouchers as well. And the footfall around here was considerably down. So it was, I would say, probably we're down about 80% on voucher sales on Saturday past alone.
And how many bookings have been cancelled? You would have a lot of Christmas dues here?
Yeah, of course. We've probably lost, I would say, around six solid bookings now. People have forfeited deposits paid and obviously afraid to come into town.
So why is the Union flag so indelibly linked to many Protestants' sense of Britishness? In Loyalist Sandy Rowe in South Belfast, these women explained.
Our forefathers fought under this flag. And there was Catholics fought under this flag. And we are here, Northern Ireland, under the Queen. Like the South is under the green, white and gold. America is under the American flag. We're under the Queen's flag.
What about this idea of how much the Union flag is linked to your sense of identity? You said that you have a strong emotional attachment to it.
My father was a soldier in the Rifles. And my husband was in the Royal Engineers. And he has four brothers in the army. So what did they fight for when this flag's getting taken down? That is our flag. Look at the lives has been lost through wars, but still the flag flew.
You're a British citizen.
Oh, yes, I am.
You vote in British elections.
Yes.
You can have a British passport.
Yes.
You might have one.
I have one.
You're British.
Yes.
Whether the flag flies at the City Hall or not, does that mean that you're less British?
Well, not the flag. We want our flag to fly. We're part of the United Kingdom.
This is all came from Sinn Féin. They're sitting with blinkers on. I don't know what they're doing here because Martin McGuinness shook the Queen's hand. Then he got out and in front of everybody, turned round and said, I'm still a Republican. We'll let him know we're still Protestant.
Does this whole situation justify death threat against an MP, an attack on a police officer, the other sort of kinds of disruption that have been happening this week?
We want that at all, Karen. Like, after all, they are our police. We stand up for them. During the Troubles, we stood up for them. What for? They turned their back on us.
Our reporter Claire Savage spoke to some residents in a Belfast city centre hotel to find out what they thought about it all.
I'm a tourist in Belfast, and I was shocked and horrified to see a van petrol bombed outside. So, you know, I've never seen anything like this. You know, I don't know what to say.
And do you think you'll come back to Belfast?
I think it's a lovely city. I'd like to come back, and all of this is terrible. You know, it's a shame. You know,
I'm just very frightened that the fact that my view of my meal tonight was the whole trouble that's going on. It's very frightening for whoever isn't really used to it as such. Really.
And do you think you'll come up shopping again in Belfast?
Not if this is going on.
Let's speak to a woman who we'll call Hilary, and she says her 11-year-old son, who we'll not be naming at all, was arrested last night. Good afternoon.
How you doing? I'm really annoyed because my son was arrested last night, you know, because I told him to stay in the house away from the violence. But obviously when he got in with his friends, he obviously went off. But I'm more annoyed at the police service in Northern Ireland because my son is in the house every night for 9:30. And I was worried sick. I was going out of my mind. It was actually 11:30 when I reported him missing because he's always in the house in time. And he wasn't yards away from his home when the police arrested him and his friends.
What had he been doing?
Well, obviously they were up at the riots, kids, and whoever it was, putting fireworks in kids' hands. I think it's a disgrace.
So, sorry, your son had a firework?
Yes, him and his friend, yes, the fireworks in their hands. I think it's a disgrace. Do you know what I mean?
Which bit's a disgrace? Sorry.
The fireworks in their hands. At the end of the day, who's putting these fireworks in the children's hands? Do you know what I mean?
What was he doing there?
Well, he was in his own... In my eyes, he was in his own estate, but obviously he wandered off with friends to the rats, which he shouldn't have done, which I'm angry with myself, with him as well. But I'm also annoyed with the police service in Northern Ireland not contacting me the after 12 at night, letting me know that they have my son. I was going out of my mind with worry.
Is it fair enough that they arrested him if he was walking along with fireworks after
he wasn't walking along with fireworks. He was coming home at this stage.
But he had a firework.
No, that's when the arrest, apparently, he had fireworks in his hand, and that's why they got lifted outside their own home.
But, you know, if somebody takes part in a riot, there is an expectation, if they're spotted, that they might well be taken into police custody.
Yes, I'm not condemning that. I'm just condemning that they waited so long to contact me to let me know that my son was in their custody.
Had he told them who he was?
Yes, he did. He said my mother would be worried. I mean, to be quite honest, Lisburn Police Station was like kindergarten last night.
The police fired 5 plastic bullets and used water cannon during rioting in Carrickfergus and Rathcoole last night. More than 30 petrol bombs were thrown at police lines, 4 officers were injured and 2 people were arrested. A bus was also burned out in Rathcoole. During an earlier protest, a distressed pensioner pleaded with protesters to let him through to get to visit his seriously ill wife in hospital. However, they refused.
If your wife was dying, what would you be doing? If your wife was dying, what would you be doing? Hey, have a bit of sense. Protestants, you don't know the meaning of the word. Take yourself home. Show a bit of respect for people.
We're not in the hospital.
We're sitting here in the remnants of your cafe, your business. There's boxes, there's bags, there's the tidying up and clearing out. What happened and when? What made your mind up about this?
We were expecting a boost come Christmas. We're looking forward to increased sales. Unfortunately, with the street protests and what's going on at Belfast City Hall, instead of sales increasing, they decreased by about 50%, which in itself would be a substantial part of our business, which enables us to stay open for the other periods over the year. You keep thinking and hope that there'll be no parade, no demonstration in Belfast on a Saturday. While we respect that everybody has a right to parade, it's the impact that it has on small businesses within the city centre. We have found customers who we could rely upon to see every Saturday just will not come to Belfast to visit us. It's making it impossible to stay open. It's having a knock-on effect throughout the week, but on a Saturday it's costing us maybe £300 just to open.
Tell me about that moment then when you realised this is it, we can't keep going like this.
Well, it was a period of reflection, knowing that I was losing hundreds of pounds on a weekly basis, knowing that if I didn't do something, take some direct action myself, perhaps somebody else, a creditor, would take action against me. I've decided to close to try and protect myself, to try and protect what business I had built up and try and look to the future.
Well, what's the cost of the protests, Karen?
Well, the exact figure, Seamus, is £15.6 million. Now, to put that in some context, that figure is more than double the cost of policing, the cost of policing all parades during the marching season last year. Matt Baggett mentioned the figure at the meeting today, and also in response to a question from board member Jerry Kelly. Here's what Assistant Chief Constable Drew Harris had to say.
The intensity of this has been reflected in the cost, undoubtedly. £15.6 million for 2 months. It has been incredibly labour and resource intensive for us as we worked very hard to keep community safe. I mean, you can compare that against the cost of just over £7 million for the 6 months between April and September last year. I agree with you entirely, Jerry. This needs to be resolved before the marching season starts. And the marching season doesn't start in June. The marching season starts the 23rd of February. This will be upon us very, very quickly. There is a sense of urgency around resolving this quickly as well.